In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello friends, and welcome back to another Monday of Common Prayer. And today is actually a Monday unlike the other Mondays that we have celebrated together, because today we start a four-week journey through the season of Advent together. And man, do I love this season. Advent is that season between Thanksgiving and Christmas as we prepare to celebrate the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. You know, I think most of us have a pretty flat understanding of Advent. I know I did for many, many years. Now, for me, Advent was really reduced to a few readings on a Sunday morning, as well as, you know, we had this really big felt board that would hang in our hallway. And we would wake up and there were felt characters that were on this felt board. And every morning, my sister would move Mary over, my brother would move Joseph, and that left me with the donkey. And so I moved the donkey up one day, and it went through these various days until we arrived. You know, they would arrive on the felt board at Bethlehem, and that would then be Christmas morning, you know. And in a lot of ways, that's what we think of with Advent. But Advent is this really rich time in the church calendar that oftentimes we just rush through to get to Christmas. In all the hustle and bustle for Christmas, we rush through to get to it. But you know, what's interesting is Advent actually starts the liturgical year. It's the beginning of the church calendar. You know, I have always been fascinated by the fact that the church calendar doesn't start with the excitement or the chaos of crucifixion and resurrection, but instead it begins in Advent, this season where we enter into waiting. You know, and it begins that it's so fascinating to me that the church calendar begins by teaching us to wait. Because in a lot of ways, Advent forces us to stop, forces us to look for God in all those places throughout the year that we've ignored, or we've suppressed, or we've pushed back into our memories. You know, and I think in some ways, this is the power of celebrating the church calendar. You know, the church calendar really at its best kind of forces us through the totality of the human experience. And, you know, there's this sort of spiritual capacity to it that once it has kind of burrowed its way into our core, it teaches us that even in the midst of that pain, that messiness, that doubt, that confusion of the human experience, God is there. Right there in all that complexity, God is there. And you know, the reality is, again, Advent is different from Christmas. So often, and rightfully so, we celebrate Christmas with veracity, with everything we have, because it is worthy of that type of celebration, but oftentimes we do that at the expense of Advent. And I think we have to be careful not to rush past Advent in a desire to get to Christmas. You know, there's a time to celebrate Christmas. We'll get there. But that time is not now. For now, it's Advent. And we sit in Advent. Because again, Advent is that season for waiting. We wait for the coming of God. We recognize our need for Him. And certainly, again, said ad nauseum, but 2020 has demonstrated our need for God more so than other years. I mean, our world is messed up. We are messed up. We lament the condition and long for God to set things right. And in many, many fronts, that is what Advent is about. It's about leaning into the waiting, leaning into that longing to experience God's presence there. So we wait, but we don't just wait, we wait in hope. We believe that something is happening in our world, that God is taking us somewhere, that there's a shape and a form to what God is doing. Something large and life-giving is happening. Bobby Gross wrote this book called Living the Christian Year, and he speaks of Advent as a time of waiting that focuses on three specific comings. And the first is Christ's arrival in history as a baby born to Mary. The second is his return in the glory at the end of time, or the end of human history. And the third is the intermediate entrance into our own life. And I like that because I think it helps us frame this idea of waiting. You know, each of these comings, if you will, draw us into the movement of God within the story. So again, Advent helps us remember that the story isn't finished, that God is not done with this world. He's not removed or hands off. He is very much present, and he is very much alive. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at Advent. We're going to slow down. We're going to have a different theme each week with a different scripture each day that guides us through this longing, this waiting. And this first week, the theme is Come, Lord Jesus. And the idea is that we tap into the longing and the waiting for God to set things right. But to do so, we have to first see what has been lost. We have to first look at what has been, or what has gone wrong, better said. And so our scriptures today actually come from the book of Genesis, the first few chapters. And I just want to read a couple of them here, but they come from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And as we read them, I want you to focus on the beauty and the perfection of them, because that helps frame what's been lost. So listen to this text in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Genesis 2, verses 8 through 9. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 1, 27 through 28, and then chapter 2, verse 25. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. You see, this first week of Advent, we focus again on this theme of Come, Lord Jesus, because at the beginning of Advent, it's fitting for us to contemplate both the beginning of time and the end of time. You see, the creation of the cosmos and the promised new heavens and the new earth, they bookend this story that we are in the midst of. And these bookends to human history, they fill our imagination for what God's intention and purpose in the world is. And the reality is we live between these two horizons. In an age and a world where we know deep in our bones that something has gone terribly wrong. Because you see, as we read these texts about the beauty of the cosmos and the garden and humanity all made perfect and in its flourishing state, you see, we're haunted by a deep sense of that something has been lost. You know, again, these three texts that I just read, they speak to this perfection. It gives us a sense of what was lost. It's what the Hebrew Bible would call shalom. It's that concept of flourishing and peace and wholeness, that this created order, that the creation has been made for something more than it is. But we lose that sense. A little later in Genesis 3, after sin, God would banish Adam and Eve from the garden. And there's this really interesting phrase. It says that they were then east of Eden. They were east of perfection. They were east of the way things were supposed to be. See, in some sense, we begin with our Advent reflections looking at the beauty and perfection of what the world was, because that's how we reveal the broken parts of the world. So I invite you to take a few deep breaths right now. Because what I want to do is I want to walk us through just a brief reflection on those three areas of creation. I want us to meditate on what once was and what will be. But right now we live in the mess. And our hearts sense that and long for things to be made right. So bring yourself back to the moment, take a few, again, deep breaths, slowing your heart and your mind, recognizing the presence of God with us today. As we start, I want you to think about that first text I read from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Spend a moment and just meditate on the expanse of the heavens and the earth. Consider the vastness and the intricacy of it all. To consider the skies, the stars, the seasons. Scriptures say all of it. Declare the glory of God. Consider the beauty that God has formed and God has created. As you hold that image of the cosmos in your mind, think of the next text, which says that God planted a garden in the east. He planted a garden in Eden with trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. I want you to spend a moment thinking of the image of flourishing in a garden. Things are blooming, water's flowing. Consider the sort of generativity of a garden, that a garden is meant to produce more and more and more. It has a sort of ability to create and procreate, to provide life through this sort of interconnected web of living things. And then lastly, think about the beauty of God's creating of humanity. I think again of Genesis 2:25. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Think of that level of intimacy. There's no shame, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no stress. Just humanity and humans created in a perfect harmony with one another and with God. It's the image of relationships gone right, innocent, free, joyous. I mean, life without struggle, without strife. Church, we begin Advent with beauty. But right behind it, we know we're not there. We know that that image has been lost. That the cosmos itself at times groan and cry out for redemption. That what was once a flourishing garden has been tainted by greed and racism and brokenness. That humanity does not live free from strife, but we live in competition and hatred. Something has been lost. That image of perfection is gone, and we know it. We feel it. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. We enter the waiting today, but we look forward to Christmas. But for now, we wait. Let me close with this prayer that we'll pray every day this week. It says, renew in me this day, O Lord, the hope of the new heaven and earth, in which you will reign in light and we live in peace. Meanwhile, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our coming King. Amen and amen.
Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.